I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to Psalm 34. I'd like to speak to you this morning about the subject of fearing God. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto the cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken, and evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word that we've just read. This is a wonderful psalm, Lord, and it speaks to us about the need for us to fear God. And I pray that we as God's people will do that. Help us to understand, Lord, that we are to fear you. We do love you, but we are to fear you. And Lord, I know that the world is in trouble today because they do not fear God. And help us to see the importance of that. And may we as God's people represent those who it's easy to notice when you look at our lives that we have unwholesome fear of God. Use this message, Lord, to speak to each heart. And I pray that you give enablement to bring the message, because without you we can do nothing. And you deserve all the glory and all the praise for what you do today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we considered the importance of loving God. And we found that the prerequisite for loving God is believing God. You see, when you believe that you're a hell-deserving sinner, when you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth to die for your sins on the cross of Calvary, paying for your sins, and when you believe that Jesus rose from the grave as proof that your sin was paid for completely, And believing that, you repent of your sins and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe like that, you will assuredly love God. And so, loving God is a result of really believing God. In fact, the more sinful you are, the Bible tells us, the more that you will love God. The more sinful you were before you were saved, the more you will love God. Jesus described that in the book of Luke. If you'll listen to me, I'll read a passage there in Luke chapter 7, beginning verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And many believe that she was probably a prostitute, because they referred to her in this way, because Jesus shouldn't have even let her touch him. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owned 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and saith unto him, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. You see, if you've been forgiven many sins, all of us have, but some more, that's for sure, then you love the Lord. And the more sins you've been forgiven of, it's the Bible says it's only natural that you love the more Lord even more. Now, just as believing God is the prerequisite for loving God, so we can say that fearing God is the prerequisite for believing God. In other words, it's like this. You fear God, you believe God, and then you love God. If you don't fear God, you don't believe God, and if you don't believe God, you don't love God. The Christian fears God, the Christian believes God, and the Christian loves God. But the unsaved person does not fear God as they should. Now, I know there's a certain fear some people have. The Lord says even the devil fears, and he trembles. But some people have a fear of God. You remember in the book of Revelation, the Lord tells about the people who don't believe in the Lord, don't trust Him, don't love Him or anything, but they cry for the rocks to fall on them, hide them from the face of Him that sits on the throne. So they have a fear of God, but it's not right the right kind of fear. It's not the fear that leads to belief. The world does not believe God's word. The world does not believe God's standards of right and wrong. And the world does not believe in God's way to heaven. And the reason they don't believe is because they don't fear God. They have no fear of God. Psalm 36 speaks of that. It says of the world, the ungodly, it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. In the book of Romans, Paul is describing unbelievers, and he says this, there's none that doeth good, their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they use deceit, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, and the way of the peace have they not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now that's true, you know that's true. Liars, deceivers, thieves, and those who take bribes, sounds like I'm talking about politicians, doesn't it? Those kind of people don't fear God. They don't believe that they will face God, the God of truth. And so they tell lies, they deceive, and they are thieves, and they take bribes to get what they want. And then fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals, they don't fear God. Because they don't believe in God, they don't fear God, therefore they don't believe His word. They don't believe His word when it says these things are wrong. They just don't have a fear of God. I read the other day of a woman who has had abortions, and she thinks that she's had more abortions than anybody, and she's proud of it. She's had 27 abortions. Now, I know something about that lady, and that is she doesn't fear God. There's no way she could fear God and be proud of something like that. Those who deny what God's word says about creation, you know, they don't believe in the creation. They make fun of the creation museum. They don't believe in the flood. They make fun of the ark encounter. Those who don't believe that, those who don't believe in coming judgment, well, they don't fear God. They don't fear God, therefore they don't believe what this so-called God says because they don't have any fear of God. They're not worried about that. But regardless of the world's lack of fear of God, there's something that's evidently, that is clearly seen in the Bible, and that is we are to fear God. The Bible says we are to fear God. Everybody is to fear God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, it's during the tribulation period, which is yet to come. The Lord says that there is another angel that comes flying through the heavens. This is after the rapture has taken place, and we're out of here. And so the church is no longer here, but it's still important that people fear God. And so this angel flies through the heaven and presents the everlasting gospel, and he says this, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. Fear God. We must fear God. Now let me give you some reasons this morning why everybody should fear God. First of all, because of His holiness. I mean, He's a holy God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6 about Isaiah. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And then it says this, the angelic creatures say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He sees the throne, he sees the angelic creatures saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And his response is, woe is me. So there's a fear of God because of God's holiness. We will stand someday before a holy God. And because of that, we should fear Him. So if you are playing around with sin, you should have a fear of God. That should bother you because you fear God. He's a holy God. Also because of God's great power. The Bible says that God is the Almighty God. God says that He is the omnipotent God. That means the all-powerful God. The creator of the universe that spake the worlds into existence. And you as the little creature is going to stand before a holy God and a powerful God. I mean, that should bring fear to your heart to think that someone that great and that mighty, you're going to stand before Him. And everybody will. Those who don't know the Lord will stand before Him in the judgment seat. Those who do know the Lord will stand before Him. Don't know the Lord, they'll stand before Him at the great white throne. Those who do know the Lord will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. But we'll stand before the Lord. And He is almighty, and that should bring fear to our hearts. He's also omniscient. That means He knows everything. Now, all of us can look pretty good to other people. And we can put on a veneer, sort of, and because everybody, people don't know everything about us. But God does. God knows everything about you. God knows the things that happened in your life many years ago that nobody else knows about, but God does. And just to think that we'll stand before God who knows everything about it, all about our motives and all of that, and just to know that He's the omniscient God, He knows everything. He even knows what you think. He knows what you think before you think it, the Bible tells us. He knows everything. Nothing takes Him by surprise. And that's a fearful thing, to stand before God like that. And also, another thing about God that should cause you to fear is that He's the judge. In fact, the Bible says all judgment has been given to the Son. That's Jesus. And so He's the judge. And to think that we're going to stand before Him should cause fear in our hearts. To know that we're going to stand before an all-holy God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God. A God who's omnipresent, who's everywhere present. You can't get away from Him. And a God who is your judge. That should bring fear to our hearts. So this morning I want us to talk of some things about that. The importance of it. And the danger to those who don't fear God. The danger to unsaved people who have no fear of God. The danger is this. If you don't fear God, you're going to allow things that God hates in your life. You're going to allow things in your life that God hates. And that's real danger because whether you fear God or not, you're going to stand before Him. And if you don't fear God, and the world's doing that all the time, they don't fear God, and they're allowing all these terrible things in their life, but they don't know that they're going to stand before a holy God. That's a dangerous thing. The Bible says there's some things that God hates. In the book of Proverbs, he lists some of those things, and he says this, he hates a proud look. He hates lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. That has to include abortion. I mean, what more innocent blood could there be? Hands that shed innocent blood. Feet that run to mischief. False witness. Somebody who stands and tells something about that is not true. They witness that and it's not true. They lied about it. God says, I hate that. And then he says, those who sow discord among brethren. It's those who sow discord among brethren. Now in the church, that would be among the brethren in Christ. Outside the church, that could mean just among people. You sow discord. You know, there's people like that who'd like to sow discord, like to stir up things. God says, I hate that. And if one of the dangers of not fearing God is that you allow things in your life that God hates, and someday you'll stand before Him with those things that God hates. There are other things that God hates. God calls them abomination. Sexual sins, adultery and fornication, homosexuality and all those things. God says, I hate that. That's an abomination to the Lord. God hates it. And people who don't fear God, they allow those things in their life and not knowing that someday they're going to stand before a God who hates those things. So it's a great danger. Cursing, God hates. Drunkenness, God hates. And we could go on and on, these things that God hates. But the danger of people who don't fear God is they allow those things in their life. But someday they will stand before God who hates those things. Also, another danger is if you don't fear God, you allow things in your life that will hurt you physically in this life. Now, that's seen all the time. All of you have seen people that you grew up with, and they've been involved in all kinds of sin, and it's brought their body down, and it's wrecked their health. And when you don't fear God, you don't care about those things. You do it anyway because you want to do it. And the result is your physical body is hurt by it. And so there's broken health. And there's other things that not just physical, but there's things that happen in your life like broken homes and broken relationships and wasted years. And those things affect the life. And when you don't fear God, you allow those things. And it'll bring results in your life in this life. But the greatest thing, the greatest danger is if you don't fear God, you reap the eternal results of your sin. The Lord describes it like this in Matthew chapter 10. He says this in verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's pretty straight. God says, don't fear them that are able to hurt you physically. But you fear him that is able to take you and to cast your soul and body into hell. Fear him. And so the Lord says, a danger of not fearing God is that someday you'll face God. And the Bible describes it like this in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It's a fearful thing. Now, there's also dangers for those that are saved. If you're saved and you don't fear God as you should, and sometimes we do that. Now, I believe if you're saved, you have a fear of God. And in fact, for a person to be saved, there's got to be a fear of God. Because why would you go to the one as a remedy for your sin if you're not concerned about the result of your sin? So everybody who truly comes to know Jesus, they're going to have a fear of God. I believe that's why it's important, and even with dealing with young people, little children, you don't just tell them the good things. You don't say, oh, it's great. Just ask Jesus in your heart, and he'll give you a home in heaven. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah, I want that. Well, listen, you have to have an awareness of sin. And that is, even children have to be brought to the realization they are sinners. And there's a result of sin. There's a punishment for sin. And that's why we need a Savior. And so you tell them about hell. Some people say, well, you shouldn't tell children about hell. Why not? It's real. And they need to fear God. And God tells us those things so we can fear it. And so every Christian has a fear of God. You fear God. That's why you believe God. And when you believe Him, then you love Him. But fear had to come first. But the Bible does tell us that we as Christians sometimes don't fear the Lord as much as we should. That's why in Psalm 34, our text this morning, It says this, look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. And then he says in verse 11, he says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. In other words, we as believers can learn to fear God more. He says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, what does he say about that? Well, look at verse 13. If you fear God, here's the way you fear God. Here's things you do if you fear God. And he says in verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. If you fear God, you're going to have a wholesome tongue. You're not going to tell dirty jokes. You're not going to curse. You're not going to tell off-colored things. You're going to fear God. Your speech is important. And so a fear of God makes you say, I have to be careful what I say. And the psalmist says, I'm going to teach you the fear of God. I'm going to teach you how to fear God. And these are the things that you do when you fear God, and that is you're concerned about how you speak. And then notice what he says in verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So if you fear God, you depart from evil. You see evil, you see wrong, and you say no to that. Why? Because you fear God. God's a holy God. I'm going to face him someday. And so I depart from evil. And then he says, I do good. A holy God is also a good God. And if you fear God, you're going to do good. You're not going to do bad. You're going to do good. Do good things. And then you're going to seek peace and pursue it. You're not going to be a person trying to stir up problems. You're going to try to be a peacemaker. And so people who fear God are concerned about their relationship with other people, and they are peacemakers. They're not peace breakers. And so you fear God. You find a Christian. They truly know the Lord, but their life has sort of deteriorated, and they're not living the way they should, and they turned out to be a sower of discord and a gossip and a troublemaker. You can say of that person, look, you don't fear God. You wouldn't act that way if you feared God. And so we have to fear God. And then notice what he says. He says, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I mean, you fear God, you're going to live right and do right. And God wants us to fear him. So God tells us righteous living is a product of the fearing God, is living right. Also, look at what he says in verse 17, the righteous cry. The Lord heareth and delivereth out of all troubles. A person who fears God is a person who prays. The righteous cry. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And he said, here's the fear of the Lord. The righteous cry unto the Lord. And they pray. They ask the Lord for things. They talk to the Lord about their problems. They cry unto the Lord. And a person who fears God talks to God. And so he says this very clearly about the child of God. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and saveth such as be of contrite spirit. This is a humble guy. The Lord says, you fear me? You don't have any reason to be proud. Can you imagine saying, I fear God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, will someday be my judge, and he's holy, no sin whatsoever. Can you imagine saying that and then participating in the things that bring heartache to God, that bring God's disapproval? Can you imagine saying that you believe all that and yet you're proud? The Lord says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart. So a person who fears God is not a proud person. He's a humble person and a contrite heart. And so God wants us to fear him. There are other verses that speak of that. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So a Christian is one who works out their own salvation. In other words, they live in a way that shows what they really have, and that is salvation from the Lord. And so they work it out. They let it be seen to other people that I'm saved, I'm different, I'm a new creature, and that we do that with fear and trembling. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So when you fear God as a Christian, You perfect holiness. You do the right thing. You say no to wrong. Hebrews chapter 12 says it like this. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So we serve God with godly fear because He's a consuming fire. And then 1 Peter says this, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So the danger of not fearing God is that if we don't fear God as a Christian, then we're going to allow some things in our life that are going to displease the Lord. And the Lord says He wants us to please Him. He tells us to keep His commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, oh, that they were had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. And so we need to fear the Lord. And if we fear the Lord, then we're going to desire the right things and we're going to keep His commandments. The Bible says if we fear the Lord, we're going to stay clean. In Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. If you fear God, if I fear God, then I'm not going to allow the things in my life that are unclean. I'm going to fear God and be clean. And then the Lord says, I'm also going to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So if you have sin in your life and you're not taking care of it, you're not departing from it, what's the Lord say? The Lord says, you don't fear me like you should, because if you feared me, you'd depart from that evil. And so to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And so if we don't fear God as a Christian, we'll allow things in our life that displease Him. We won't keep His commandments. We won't stay clean. We won't depart from evil. We'll not hate evil. The Lord says, I want you to fear me. Also, another danger for the saved is that we will not obey the Lord, and therefore we'll be disciplined by God. We'll not look at it, but in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 9, it says that God disciplines those He loves. And so He chastens those who are His children. Why? Because they do things that are not right. And so if we do what is right, then the Lord will not chasten us. And He compares, He says, now, earthly fathers, you reverence them. In other words, you fear them. And so and you do what they tell you, but you as I'm your heavenly Father, and you should fear me, and you should do what I tell you, because if you don't, I'm a good father, and I will discipline my own. And so a reason to fear the Lord is because He will discipline us if we don't. And then also another reason to fear the Lord as a Christian is if we don't. A danger is this. If we don't fear God, we're going to miss out on some really good things. Now, as I did a study of fearing the Lord, I found out some really good things for fearing God. And let me list them for you. First of all, wisdom. If you fear God, you're going to have wisdom. People are all the time making unwise decisions. And, I mean, they're messing their lives up. Life is a series of choices and decisions you make. And people who don't fear God don't make right decisions. And the Lord says it like this in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you don't have any wisdom, that means you're not fearing God. So if you fear God, it's the beginning of wisdom. So no, that's a good thing that you have, and that is wisdom from fearing the Lord. Another thing is God's goodness. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. How great is thy goodness? You want the goodness of the Lord? Then the Bible says we should fear Him. We should fear the Lord. We should live daily of fearing God and that reverence and respect for Him, that we want to do what He tells us to do because we fear the Lord. We're going to stand before Him someday, and so we fear Him. And so God says, I'll be good to you if you'll fear me. Another thing is God's mercy. Psalm 103, verse 11 says, so great is thy mercy toward them that fear Him. So great is the mercy of the Lord towards those that fear Him. You want mercy in your life? The Lord says, fear me. Also, God's protection. Psalm 34, verse 7, we read it a while ago. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear Him and delivers them. I use that verse lots of times in the hospital. And that is, they're getting ready to go to surgery. And I say, I can't go with you. Your family can't go with you. The doctor's going to be there and you're going to be there. But I tell you, somebody who will be there if you fear him and you love him. And that is, the Lord's going to be there. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear him, and he delivers them. And so the Lord says, I'll give you protection if you fear me. Another thing is God's provision. Psalm 34, verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. God will give you what you need if you fear him. And so we need to fear the Lord. Confidence is another thing. Proverbs 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. If you fear God, you can stand strong before men. If you fear God, you'll have confidence because you're doing what he wants you to do and he's promised to bless you. And so you'll have confidence when you fear God. Another thing you'll have is satisfaction. You know, the world likes that, and Christians sometimes lack satisfaction. They're not satisfied with their life, not happy with their life. The Lord says, you fear me, and I'll give you satisfaction. It says it like this in Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Satisfied. Why are we so often not satisfied? Well, maybe it's because we don't fear God like we should. We're not directing our lives in a way that shows we fear God. And so we're making unwise choices because we're not fearing God. And the Lord says we're not satisfied. Along with satisfaction comes happiness. Proverbs 28, verse 14 says, happy is the man that feareth always. Happy is the man that fears the Lord. It's not drudgery to fear God. I mean, it gives you freedom. It gives you peace. It gives you security, it gives you confidence, it gives you happiness to fear the Lord. And so he says, happy is the man that feareth him. And then answered prayer is another one. Psalm 145, verse 19 says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry. So God says, I give answered prayer to those who fear me. And then there's another one. Another result of fearing God is fellowship. Turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. I want to read you something there. I think it's a very interesting verse. And we'll see two things there that are a result of fearing God. First is fellowship. And he says in Malachi 3 verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I believe that speaks of fellowship. When you fear God, your fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ is better. When you don't fear God, then you are sort of shut out, or you shut yourself out from others because you're doing things you shouldn't do and you're participating in things you shouldn't participate in. But the Lord says, I'll give you great fellowship if you'll just fear me. God will put things in line that you need if you'll just fear him. And so fellowship. But then there's another thing, and that's honor. Look at, as we read on that verse, verse 16 says, I'll go back over it again. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God says, I have a book of remembrance for them that feared me. Tonight in the message, I want to talk about people in the Bible who feared God. God says, I have a book of remembrance for those who fear God. Now, my name is not in the Bible. Your name is not in the Bible. Unless your name happens to be John. John, your name's in there, but it's not you. And our name's not in, and Ed's name is in the Bible, by the way. Ed's name's there. It means witness. But it's not Ed Blanton. It speaks of something else, witness. But, you know, our name is not there. But God says, I make a book of remembrance for you. If you fear me. So that's an honor, isn't it? To know that God remembers when I fear him. And if I have a life of fearing the Lord and making my decisions based upon that, I fear him, and so I make right decisions, I do the right thing because I fear the Lord. The Lord says, I honor you. And then he says in verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The Lord says, you'll be like a jewel to me. And I have a book of remembrance, and the Lord will have a book that he writes about us. And I don't know how it's going to be, but maybe God's recording those things. And maybe in heaven he'll have a book with your name on it that says this is a book of remembrance, that I remember this about this man because he feared me. It was tough sometimes in his life. Sometimes he had made decisions that weren't popular and people didn't like him for it, but he feared me, and that's so important to God. And God says, I'll honor you if you'll fear me. And then there's one more thing, and that's knowledge of God's secrets. You know, God has secrets. They're found in the Bible, but you know, those who really know what the Bible says are those who fear God. And the Lord says it like this, Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God will help you understand the Bible if you'll fear him. If you don't fear him, you're not going to understand much about the scripture. But if you'll fear the Lord and desire to serve him because you fear him, then you'll be granted his secrets. And then there's another danger. You might say, you'll miss out on these things if you don't fear the Lord as you should. But another danger is we'll lose our reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Because someday the Lord's going to reward us who know him. And our reward will be based upon our wisdom, the decisions that we've made. And the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that you're going to receive rewards and you could lose rewards. Why will you lose those rewards? Check it out in verses 18 and 19 of that passage, and you'll find it's involved in wisdom. You had wisdom, and you did the right thing. And wisdom is the beginning, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so God wants to give us rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, everybody needs to fear God. Unbelievers, if they don't, someday they will. Because you might not fear God. You find these people on TV, they laugh about righteousness, they make fun of those who stand for right, they make jokes about it and all of that. And they might laugh now, but the day will come they won't laugh. Because sin won't be funny when you face a holy God who's all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere present. And he's been everywhere you were. He knows everything you did, everything you said, everything you thought, and you're going to stand before a holy God. It won't be funny then. And so you don't fear God here. Someday you will, but it'll be too late. Because the Bible says that every knee will bow, Philippians tells us, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But then it'll be too late. But you will fear God. But for Christians, if we do not fear God like we should, we're going to lose out. We're going to miss all those blessings we mentioned. And we'll miss out on the rewards that we could have had. So the thrust of the message is this. Everybody needs to fear God. And especially we who know Jesus, we should fear God. And I guarantee you, the more you fear him, the more you'll believe him, what he says. And the more you believe him, the more you'll love him. So fearing God leads to believing God, and believing God leads to loving God. And it's a winning proposition. Let's be sure we fear the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us that we are to fear God. It's not a bad thing for us to do. It's a good thing. And I pray that we might fear you in our lives. We might stand in awe and reverence of you and want to please you because we know who you are. And also we know what you've done for us. So Lord, may we be people who fear God. May we be people who believe God. May we be people who love God. We ask in Jesus' name.